Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome back to an exciting edition of Mediocrity Podcast. I'm so happy to be here. I'm Brian Kluger. So much has happened since last week. We have tons to talk about today. I'm, of course, joined by Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Miggert. Jonathan, you're not looking directly into the screen because we're – so for those of you at home or in the car listening to us right now, we usually do a video podcast and we could all see each other. But for some reason today, Jonathan is looking away from his screen.
Yeah, I'm looking off to the right because I broke the monitor on my laptop, broke the screen on it, and I have to use my TV as a monitor until I get it fixed.
Kids. Important lesson here from your Uncle Jonathan. It's don't masturbate angry.
Just
you know, when you see when you bring kids into it, it just makes it really creepy.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Important lesson back from John's days as a life coach.
There he goes. But we're all doing well. It is mid-December, Dallas, Texas, two of us, West Coast, one of us, in the Dallas, Texas area. It is still around 75, 80 degrees in mid-December, so we've got that going for us. But we've had a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about Disney and Fox coming together. We're going to talk about a DC-Marvel crossover, if it happens in the movies. Toys for Christmas, Christmas music, tons of stuff. But there was something that happened today, something crazy that happened today. Jonathan, do you know what?
I'm going to go earmuffs over here and just take off my headphones and do one of these. For those of you that couldn't see me, I was double flipping them off with both fingers, both hands, I mean.
So the reason why, and we're not going to talk about it, but Jeremy and I did see a certain movie just literally a few hours ago that nobody has seen.
We just got home.
Yeah, we literally legit just got home to record this podcast that we're not going to talk about because Jeremy and I are the only people that have seen this movie out of a very large number of people. We are consider ourselves lucky, but we did see Star Wars: The Last Jedi, and yeah, that's what we did. That's what we did.
And I don't get to see it until a week from yesterday, so it's going to be the longest week ever.
See, and here's the funny thing. I feel like this is an important moment in this podcast that we need to take the time to acknowledge, because this is kind of the moment that you have to look at and say, I think Brian Kluger knows more about Star Wars than Jonathan Atterbury does.
Oh, that is so true. It is so true that we could say that, right, John?
Enjoy it for this one week, motherfucker.
I think Jeremy literally just killed Jonathan with that statement. I can see the pain on his face. Oh, he does not look happy.
Oh, I'm smiling. What are you talking about?
Smiling through those tears. But yes,
yeah. And I know more than everyone, so everything is right in the world.
There you go. But yes, Jeremy and I did see Star Wars: The Last Jedi. We are going to do a podcast about it after Jonathan sees it. And yeah, I guess that's all we can tell you right now. I guess from just this thing, one thing we'll say is that it is 2.5 hours long. So there is that. And it's a Star Wars movie. So those are the two things.
It is a Star Wars movie that is 2.5 hours long. Thank you. That's the right amount of information to share with my virgin ears.
So, non-Star Wars stuff, ahead, I guess.
Moving on.
Which, oh man, you have no idea how difficult it's going to be to
it's
not
so
just...
hard. It's so hard not to talk about it. Jeremy made a really great analogy the other night when we were playing Battlefront 2 together. Why don't you tell Brian what you told me?
I'll tell him again because he was there.
Oh, that's right.
He forgets.
So waiting a week to talk to John about this Star Wars movie is pretty much exactly the same as in Back to the Future when Doc Brown sends Marty back to 1985 and he has to wait 30 years to talk to him about all of the events from like a previous week. That's how I'm going to feel over the next like 6 days.
Yeah.
Because Kluger and I walked out of the movie and it was just like, fuck, all we wanted to do was talk to you about it.
Yeah, no, we did. We really got out of the movie and I was like, okay, first off, and then Jeremy just goes, we've got to talk about some shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about.
I was like, we got to get all this shit out of our systems before we get on that fucking podcast.
Yeah,
yeah. As long as Snoke is not Mace Windu, as you guys can tell me that that's not the case.
We're not saying anything, sir. but no, it is, I'll say this, there was traffic on the way home. We made a pit stop on the way home and there was not silence at all. It was all dedicated to Last Jedi and like,
all right, stop.
We should have just recorded it.
We should have.
All right. You're already telling me too much. I don't want to know. It's getting dangerously close to telling me things that I don't want to know yet.
Oh, it's so good because if you could see John right now, it's just so great because he doesn't want to hear it and he wants to hear it all at the same time. But
it's so true. I so badly want to know, but I also so badly don't want to know. So it's just I'm getting torn up over here. You're tearing me apart.
This is so good. And just remember, I do know more about Star Wars than you right now, so very, very happy
about
this.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I would actually consider that to be true, because the amazingly small amount of stuff that you know about the original, the other seven movies that have come out, or eight movies, I guess, at this point, may actually be canceled out. So, because considering the vast amount of information that I have in my brain about all of those things.
Excuses.
You just know more about this movie.
It's hard to say because two people know how much shit went down in that movie.
All right, so some shit went down. All right, never mind. I don't care.
It's so good.
The hard thing about this is I feel like Fletcher Reed in Liar Liar. I just look at John and just want to fucking spew all the Star Wars shit at him.
Oh, it's going to be
it
good.
Was me!
Yeah, it was blue! The goddamn pen is blue! Oh,
that's so good. I'm so excited. I'm so happy right now. But I guess the third thing we'll say is that we are excited for Atterbury to see this movie.
I am excited for me to see this movie as well.
Good. All right. Let's move on. Oh, we've spent quite a bit of time on this.
Before I have a complete mental breakdown.
Oh, so good. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about some stuff. Last week, we touched on the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer because they released like 10 seconds of it. But since then, they have released a full trailer of it. And I don't know what to say. I mean, it's got Chris Pratt kind of playing a brother to a velociraptor. It's just really weird.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about Star Wars.
Well, hey, Jeremy, should we start talking about Star Wars? He can't stop thinking about it.
I'm just saying, I'm looking into the future right now, and I'm seeing myself texting Jeremy at like 1 a.m. tonight, like, dude, you gotta fucking tell me what happened. I need to know. You gotta tell me right now.
Well, do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you something?
And be like, no.
I'll say that you have a lot of good stuff to look forward to in Battlefront 2.
Oh.
They have a lot to add to this game from that movie.
Oh, okay, so I'm just going to take that as, like, different types of troopers and vehicles and things like that, and that's it. Okay, so Jurassic World thing.
we'll just say this.
Stop.
It's all part of Mace Windu's dream.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mace Windu wakes up next to a dog, and, you know, it's
he's
like
in a coma this whole time.
Yes.
And Palpatine threw him out the window.
Yes, yes. And it's just all part of his coma dream.
Oh, gotcha. As was Pulp Fiction and Hateful Eight and all of that.
Yes. His whole career, it's legit Sam Jackson. So just wakes up. He's like, I'm Mace Windu. All right.
In a bed next to Anakin Skywalker.
There's a torrid love affair. I would actually watch that. I wonder if there's fan fiction about that, right?
I know
now.
You would.
You would. I think I'm surprised you haven't written that fan fiction yet.
Well, so I'm trying to figure that out. So after he falls out, maybe Anakin just kind of goes down.
No, he never fell out. The whole thing was a dream.
It was a dream.
Yeah.
So whose dream? Anakin's or Mace's?
Mace's.
So Mace Windu had this dream.
That's why he's so hostile to Anakin all the time in front of everyone. He's covering.
Sexual tension.
Sexual tension.
Okay, so, all right. But they
Let's
wake up.
Let's just fucking talk about Jurassic Park.
We were going to talk about Mace Windu and Anakin Skywalker fucking, but let's move on to something Jurassic
let's
World.
Let's go back to dinosaurs.
Okay. Jurassic World, did y'all see the trailer?
Nope.
Yep.
All right. So, interestingly enough, well, I guess the point of this one is, I guess, the island where Jurassic World was on, I guess there's a volcano that's going to erupt, and Jeff Goldblum in so many ways in the trailer says life finds a way, meaning, I guess, or hinting that dinosaurs are going to escape off the island and get to the mainland, which is what it looks like. And then there's a scene with Chris Pratt, you know, I guess he's raised a velociraptor with a blue stripe from young age, and they come and greet each other again. I don't know. Again, looks fun, stupid, but fun.
Well, I assumed that the baby velociraptor you were seeing was a flashback to him raising Blue.
Yeah, I guess so. That's right.
You know, and it's interesting. You know, it's kind of funny because I feel like they're like, look, we're trying to do something different. We're blowing up the island. You know, and it's like, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, hey, we're going to try to do something different. But it's like, you know, sometimes the different just doesn't super work that well. And I did think it was funny when you heard the soundtrack in the movie, like how they've kind of taken, you know, John Williams, like, took his Star Wars theme and, you know, took the normal theme and, like, made it, like, super dramatic. They basically kind of did the same thing with the Jurassic Park theme.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So I thought that was something interesting that I noticed.
Yeah, it's I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. Still, I think it's going
to
be silly.
To me, they just, as long as they're not doing the whole, like, Indominus Rex thing and they're kind of abandoning some of that, I think that would be better.
Right. Well, it does look like there's, like, going to be one mean dinosaur or two, but it doesn't look like it's, like, a collection of horrible shit gone wrong,
so,
you know.
Like a predator dinosaur that just eats other dinosaurs?
Yes. A predator dinosaur. I'd be
so
in
a
for
dinosaur that's a carnivore?
Yes.
Now, Williams is not doing the score for this one, right?
No. He's not.
Yeah.
So
I gotta admit, like, my level of interest in this movie is pretty low. I like after the last one sucked so bad. I mean, really, we've only really ever gotten one truly great Jurassic Park movie, and that's just not enough to make me, like, excited about the fifth movie in the series now.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
We'll see. I mean, I'm definitely gonna go see it. I want to see it, so I will be there. But it doesn't look amazing. I just hope there's some good death scenes and stuff like that. So let's hope for the best. That's all we can do, I guess. Another trailer that came out, the second trailer to Ready Player One came out. Did y'all get a chance to see that?
I did.
I did not. I didn't even know it was out.
It is. And holy, I mean, it gives more to the characters and everything. You see tons of characters in the movie, such as you see people from Overwatch. There's even a Child's Play Chucky doll in the movie that's kicking ass. Just tons of stuff.
I didn't know the guy that played Director Krennic was in that movie.
Yes, yes.
Apparently being a character like Director Krennic. I saw him walk around looking like an asshole holding a little pistol, so.
Did y'all ever read the book Ready Player One?
No, I have never read it, but it's on my list. I want to read it soon. I want to read it before I watch the movie.
Yeah, I think you should definitely read it. It's a good read. There's tons of 80s references to pop culture in it, as you can see in the trailer as well. It's going to be a cool movie, I think, and Spielberg doing it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be a
hopefully
fun
movie. Spielberg brings back some of his mojo for this movie, because it sounds like you did not like his last movie,
The Post.
Right.
Yeah, no, I didn't like The Post that much.
He hasn't put out a lot of good stuff lately. Most of his stuff has been kind of at best.
Lincoln, War Horse, and The Post, they're all kind of, you know, historical dramas. And
yeah, and what was that one about was it a German spy?
Oh, Munich? I liked Munich. I like Munich.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I thought that was just like, I thought it was all right. It was just kind of slow.
I liked Munich. That was, I thought Munich was a very un-Spielberg-y movie, but made it really cool, because it, I think Munich gave a side of the enemy that we never saw before, instead of just being evil. So
right.
I thought that was cool. But since then, yeah, the post is good. It's well done. It's just, we want sci-fi Spielberg back, you know? We want that magical
and like adventure Spielberg.
Right. Right.
Let's have him Spielberg. Let's have him do that Marvel Fantastic Four movie that we're hopefully getting sometime soon.
Oh, that'd be, I would love that.
Not going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
I can't even begin to say what I would give to watch Spielberg do a Star Wars movie. It's just,
I legit thought that was
so obvious.
I legit thought
that he did a lot of work on Revenge of the Sith, I think.
He did?
Yeah.
I think he just was kind of like a consultant, right?
I thought he was actually like on set with Lucas shooting stuff.
Interesting.
Well, I think he might have been. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because I know he showed up. He was hanging out, like he went to see George, because there's like special footage or like bonus footage on the DVDs and shit,
right?
Of him showing up on Phantom Menace. But I think he actually did work on with George on Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I just mean I would love to see him like be one of the directors for the upcoming movies.
Yeah. I legit thought that was going to happen with the third movie. And it went to J.J. Abrams, which is fine, but I legit thought, I was like, oh man, what if Spielberg gets to do it? You know, a Spielberg Star Wars movie. Holy shit, that'd be pretty cool. But not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. So we will see from then.
Maybe he's holding out for the Obi-Wan Ewan McGregor movie. Then we can all just die happy. That'd be amazing.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I guess that's all trailer wise. But you brought up this Marvel thing. What's this? Do you have more information on this 20th Century Fox Disney merger?
I have information that I read on the interwebs like last week.
Well, give us a clue so we can talk about it.
Just that Disney is looking to buy the, I don't really know what all it entails, but basically 20th Century Fox, like similarly how to Disney purchased Marvel and then Lucasfilm. And the cool thing about this is what this gives them access to is it gives them access to the X-Men movies. It gives them access to, in addition to the X-Men, what the fuck else does it give them? I'm totally blanking.
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four. There's one other thing, too.
Deadpool.
And Deadpool, yeah. So, yeah. It gives them access to all those things. So,
Exciting.
Sometime soon, those things will be incorporated into your Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, I guess there was a...
It's, you know, I was talking about this with Lauren, my wife, the other day, and I was just kind of trying to explain to her how weird it is that we've got, you know... all these Marvel movies and the Avengers movie, and it's completely hasn't even touched the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, which are such huge parts of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm going to be curious to see, like, the thing I'm looking forward to seeing is how are they going to, you know, in the Marvel universe, you know, what happens to for there to all of a sudden be mutations to kind of really start? Because you can't really start it back in the 60s, you know, the way it did in the comic books and the way they did in the previous X-Men movies and say, oh, you know, it started in the 60s and...
Right.
That's when it kind of kicked off. And, oh, and Magneto is a Holocaust survivor, because it's like, you know, how old is he realistically going to be at that point? And how old, you know, how can you really buy someone, you know, that old as kind of being a dangerous threat? So I'm kind of curious to see how they work in all the, you know, all the X-Men stuff. There are people that theorize that, you know, you could do something with, you know, post-Infinity War gauntlets that basically causes, you know, the beginning of mutations on Earth, and that's where the mutants come from. That would be kind of neat. You know, Scarlet Witch is tied in heavily to affecting the mutants in the comic books here and there. But also, man, you know, how do you bring the Fantastic Four in? You know, how are they going to go about that? What happens with Deadpool? Do we still get rated R Ryan Reynolds Deadpool movies after this?
I would imagine so. I would imagine that we would. I mean,
of me kind of wants him in an Avenger movie, you know, trying to swear, but then it just gets bleeped out. And then he loses his mind because his swear words are getting bleeped out, but nobody really knows what his deal is.
Oh, they would do it. Oh, that would be great. So an article posted today saying that I guess the announcement will be this week of Disney buying Fox. So that it's most likely to come any time this week, which I guess, yeah. What do you do you reboot X-Men? Do you reboot Fantastic Four? What do you do?
You got it. I think you have to, because the thing is I really think that the MCU, you know, they've got such a high level of content quality, and almost all of the Fox stuff has sucked super bad. Most of it, not all of it, obviously. There's been a few things like the Deadpool movie and, you know, like Old Man Logan, things like that. But the vast majority of it has stunk and not really been a good representation of those characters in those worlds.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm pretty sure that they're going to want to completely just kind of start anew with their own. You know, of course, all of us in our deep hearts, we want to see Hugh Jackman in an Avengers movie.
As Wolverine.
Yeah, but I just don't see that happening. I know he's retired, but, you know, and maybe they could talk him into it if they paid him enough. But I just don't see them really even wanting to do that, because that's going to make it just everyone is going to think of it as being that world.
Right. No, I mean, I would love to see that. I mean, technically they could, because... Logan does take place like way later on, so this could be like before his.
No, I just mean, well, like I know Hugh Jackman.
The Logan movie is not continuity.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like even in the X-Men movie universe, the Logan movie is a standalone movie that has nothing to do with their continuity.
I bet you they would. I legit think if all the stars aligned, they're doing an Avengers movie with everybody that's been there, you know, right now, and they asked Hugh Jackman to come on and gave him a percentage of what was going to, you know, the movie was going to make, he would come back at least for a scene.
I don't know, because I think they're going to want Wolverine in Avengers movies.
Yeah, if you have Wolverine, you can't have him for a scene. You want him to be, if they're going to put him in the MCU, they're going to want him to be an integral part of the MCU.
Exactly. Like, and Hugh Jackman's not going to want to come back for another six movies, which is what they're going to want. Yeah. For their Wolverine. So I just
all of a sudden it's going to go from Hugh Jackman to being some totally different actor, which I'm not opposed to, you know, but yeah. At the same time, it would be a little weird.
Yeah, I think it has to be a totally new start. I think
I'm all for it to even work. I'm all for a new Wolverine. And you know, the question is, okay, so we're getting Avengers Infinity War, but holy shit, there's already so many characters. Do you really want to bring in all the X-Men and all the Fantastic Four?
Yep.
Well, you do, but I think they're going to have to just kind of
No, we lost him.
Well,
oh, there we are. Oh, wait, what'd you say? Say that again.
Repeat that again.
I think it's going to be an interesting challenge to get all those characters in, but I think they're going to have to kind of split it up more, where it's not like, hey, here's every single character in the MCU in one movie, unless they're just doing a special movie where it's just going to be nothing but fight scenes and stuff like that. And it's been set up in all the other movies.
You know, to me, I think they could do it if, you know, to have it that way, because if you're going to have the idea where your movies are in phases and, you know, you have a big, like a big movie at the, you know, at the end of a phase where you do an Infinity War thing, they could actually spend time in the other movies setting all that stuff up. So you don't have to as much really cover a ton of story kind of jumping into that.
Yeah.
And it really the kind of cool thing about these characters all being in the same movie universe is when Stan was doing the comic books, you know, originally, like his whole thing was that, it, you know, when you would read original Amazing Spider-Man, you know, he would just randomly run into Daredevil, or he would randomly run into Doctor Strange, or he would see, you know, the Avengers and doing stuff, you know, fighting off on a pier while he's overdoing it. And because the reason that Stan wanted it to be where, you know, everywhere you looked, there was just amazing things happening in the Marvel Universe that just were basically mind-blowing. And just adding, like, even more of all of this, that's really just what you're getting. And when I was watching those kind of first Avengers Infinity trailer, that's kind of what I was thinking, was it reminded me of Stan Lee talking about how, you know, he wanted the idea that you would just turn the corner in the Marvel Universe and there was just something that was just mind-blowingly amazing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of what they're building towards.
I mean, yeah, and that kind of makes sense. Like, it's kind of what we got with the most recent Thor movie. And I like that. To me, I thought that was really cool. Maybe my favorite part of the movie, that it was more of a Hulk and Thor movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that. I like that, too. I do. I enjoyed that. So I guess we'll find out this week, and I bet you before the end of the year or right after the first of the year, Disney will absolutely announce Fantastic Four part of what, Phase 4 or 5? Or X-Men part 4 or 5? Like X-Men Rebirth or something?
Rebirth is a DC term. They probably won't use that.
Okay. Regenerated? I don't know.
Reorigined.
Well, we could all agree that Bryan Singer will not be a part of it.
Oh, yeah, that's correct.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I guess by next podcast we will have updates on if the deal went through. But if it does happen, let's take a checklist. Disney owns Marvel. Disney owns Lucasfilms, which means Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And then Disney will own, they don't own Sony outright, but they do have the rights to Spider-Man. But if they do buy Fox, they will have Fantastic Four and X-Men just, you know, on that side. And then again, Disney would own, because I think 20th Century Fox is Aliens as well.
Dude, it is.
Aliens in the fucking Marvel Universe. Oh, amazing. Why you roll your eyes, sir?
I don't think they're gonna do that.
Who would be? Why not? They did Alien and Predator.
That's a pretty big stretch. It's the Aliens and the Predator movies have been intricately linked forever, though. I mean, well, I'm sure they own, Fox owns a lot of other things. It doesn't mean they're going to just start throwing it. Don't they own King of the Hill?
Well, King of the Hill's coming back fantastically enough. Oh, I'm so excited about that. Oh, my God. So Disney buys Fox. That means they own Simpsons, too. There's just so much
there
to do.
There you go. We're going to get a Simpsons X-Men combo movie, clearly.
Well, you know what's cool is that Kevin Feige got his start. Like, he worked on the original X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was one of their kind of like their consultants where, you know, he would help them establish, like, you know, this is what the powers do. No, you can't put a helmet on Cyclops. It has to be a visor. You know, that kind of shit.
And we were talking about this earlier. X-Men, the first X-Men movie, was the first big comic book movie in the year 2000. It's been 17 years since that came out and changed the game. And it's like everybody was waiting to see X-Men, does it do well? And it did super well. And then in 2007, Marvel became their own movie studio. Iron Man, man, it was over. Now it's just every fucking 3 months you get a big superhero movie. And it's not stopping. Not stopping at all. But yeah, I'm excited for this merger. I think it'll be, or not merger, buyout, basically. But then again, what else is Disney going to be like the one company that, like, I mean, are they
the one company to rule them all?
Yeah. Is Disney going to buy Universal? Is Disney going to buy Warner Brothers? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. Like I think I've mentioned this before, probably even on the show. I just want them to buy Harry Potter. I just want them to have Harry Potter, which, I mean, I guess if they get Universal, they'll have Harry Potter. But
I guess so. Because, yeah, NBC,
that's the dream to me.
Okay. So, yeah, NBC, Universal, are they the company, and ABC is Disney. Okay. I mean, Warner Brothers is doing a good job with – they did a good job with Harry Potter. Fantastic Beasts, I think, is at a good start, but I don't have a problem with
– I think the main reason I want Disney to own Harry Potter is so they can do a Disneyland Harry Potter park.
But isn't there already one?
There's the ones at Universal Studios, but Universal Studios sucks a lot.
Okay.
And I haven't been to the Harry Potter park, but like the problem is that all the food at Universal is dog shit and it's just scummy and it's not a good theme park. Whereas Disneyland is just such an excellent, and the Disney parks are just so well done and the food's good and the environment is good. And I feel like they just really nail a Harry Potter park.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well then. Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe Disney's not done buying shit, so that might happen. All right, so that is Fox and Disney. Is there any other news that y'all want to talk about that came out? Actually, I guess Walking Dead first part of season 8 just ended. Did y'all see it? Do y'all watch it?
Dude, Kevin Smith just posted a spoiler on his page, that fucker.
Oh, did he? What a dickhead.
Super big dick move. I was like on there posting the little thing about my music, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how? There was no spoiler alert, nothing. Just a big old picture right in the middle of my Facebook feed. I was like, normally I'll get mad at Kevin Smith. He's usually pretty good about that shit.
I thought you signed off of social media.
No, I still have my Facebook account. It's just I don't use it.
Okay. All right. Well, that sucks that he posted the big spoiler because, yeah, there was like in the last several seasons, there's always a death, but this one was a big one. So I can't believe he spoiled it. But, yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely deviated from the comics, but I guess we'll get the second part in February to this Walking Dead season 8. But I guess Jeremy doesn't watch it, but. I mean, did he legit, like, straight spoil it?
I'll say it this way. I saw the picture he posted and immediately knew what had happened.
Oh, that sucks.
There was no doubt in my mind. It was the picture he posted along with the caption that he posted along with it. You could probably pull it up on his Facebook page right now. And I was just like, you son of a bitch.
I gotta look this up. Oh, man, I haven't been on Facebook in forever. Let's see what the hell he fucking did. That's kind of just a dick move to do because
it is.
I mean, at least wait a week.
Something. You know, it's just irritating because, like I said, I haven't signed on Facebook in a long friggin' time. And the day I sign on, it's just like immediately one of my shows gets ruined for me. I'm like, I hate social media so much.
Man, I don't see anything. Was it? Are you sure it was his Facebook or is it Instagram?
I thought it was his Facebook. Maybe he deleted it.
Shit. Oh,
he realized it was, maybe he was just really stoned when he posted it and he realized it was a spoiler.
I'm checking his Instagram real quick because I'm definitely curious. Yeah, it's not on his Instagram. And it wasn't on his Facebook either. So
he must have deleted it from his Facebook because it was definitely on there.
Yeah, people must have really given him shit.
Yeah. I'm just glad, lucky me, I caught it before I deleted it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that sucks. I mean, because it came on yesterday, and that's a dick move to do something like that, you know? Like, wait at least a week so people can have a chance to catch up, you know? Yeah, he probably got some shit for it. But we won't spoil anything. But I thought the overall this season was good. A lot of war. It's, yeah, it's interesting to see where they're going. I've stuck it with this long. I'm going to stick it all the way through. So is that what you think, Mr. Atterbury?
Yeah, I'm in for it. All right, cool. I've always enjoyed it. It's never been like my favorite show or anything like that, but I've always gotten some pretty solid entertainment value out of it.
Oh, good, 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 good. Okay, cool. Yeah, Walking Dead ended. Curb Your Enthusiasm ended this season, and it was excellent. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you haven't got a chance to watch that, it's excellent. I guess I'm trying to think of what else I'm watching. I guess I need to watch a few things, but nothing for sure as like ongoing right now. All right. Well, let's move on to our big theory storyline creativity of a Marvel DC crossover. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now. So there's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's a DC Cinematic Universe. It just has to happen. I just feel like it would make the most money ever if they found a way to bring DC and Marvel together for like one big movie or like a double movie, you know, one that comes out in like May and the other half comes out in December. So we kind of wanted to come up with maybe some creative, silly or creative fun or serious ways that this could actually happen, to have like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman team up with the Avengers type of thing, you know, in some sort of world. So, Mr. Atterbury, do you have any thoughts on this subject?
Sure. Let's go ahead and say Scarlet Witch accidentally opens up a portal to the DC universe. And then the DC universe is able to mingle with the Marvel universe. And while all that is happening, Bruce Wayne helps them to invent basically this mutant spark. And that's where we get the X-Men from.
Ha! That's kind of cool.
So that's kind of their way of tying in all of it.
I like this. I like this.
Or maybe it was actually something like Lex Luthor did when he was trying to do something and he accidentally created the mutants.
Yeah.
That will be in that. And then, you know, Scarlet Witch is able to close off this portal, at least for now. And then that's how the X-Men and stuff like that are introduced.
Okay. All right. I get it. I like this.
Jeremy, does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know a lot more about all this stuff than I do.
A little bit. I've heard worse.
Yeah, it's no Mace Windu lightsaber theory, but
hey, that was a good. Well, I'm not going to say anything, so you just have to watch.
Spoilers.
So yeah, I'm just seeing.
Oh, that was so good. I almost passed out from laughter. Oh my goodness. All right. So you want to hear mine?
Yeah.
All right. So Marvel. So how I pictured this. Okay. So you have Metropolis and Gotham City, which we saw in Batman vs. Superman. They were kind of like twin cities, basically. They're not too far away from each other. So I would imagine that's on like one side of this fictional United States. And on the other side of the fictional United States is this big Marvel universe, this big Marvel city that's like New York as well. So I would like to think that the Joker and Lex Luthor get together in a plot to destroy everything, that kind of brings both of them together in the center of this fictional universe, and like, you know, like a Midwest type of thing. Tons of people die, and then Joker turns on Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor ends up kind of being like an anti-hero, kind of like Loki.
Marvel DC Universe's big battlegrounds is Oklahoma.
Yes, how awesome would that be?
This is how we reveal that Kluger really doesn't know anything about the Marvel Universe, because his villains are two people from the DC universe.
No. No. I think that, because I think the DC would have to get help because of this, because they always take place in the cities. But if they go to like the middle of America and like, you know,
nobody wants to see the DC guys and Marvel guys fighting in the Midwest. Nobody wants to see anything in the, nobody, even the people in the Midwest don't want to see the Midwest.
Yes,
it's freaking boring.
Do. No, Thanos.
No offense to all of our Midwest fans.
No. It'd be awesome to have those two together fight those two villains, and then Lex Luthor just kind of the DC guys really need the help of the Avengers. Like we sent out a call, and like the Avengers show up. Oh my God, how amazing would that be? I would like to see that. We've seen so much of the fucking buildings being destroyed. We don't need to see that. We need to see, like, land, like, start with, I don't know. I like that idea, sir.
You want to see land being destroyed? We saw that in Superman 1.
We sure did.
When Lex Luthor made an earthquake.
We could do that again, man. And then The Rock can come, and he could be his character from,
San Andreas.
Yes.
Mm. They can just duke it out like a Walmart.
Yeah. His action Dairy like Queen. That.
I mean, yeah. It would be cool. Like, you know, I like the idea of Ultron, and I don't think they really utilized him that well in Avengers 2, but I thought he would be a pretty cool villain to kind of like creep up and like be kind of like the whole architect for Joker and Lex Luthor getting together. I don't know. And like something like that. I don't know. That would be kind of cool. But Joker ends up fucking everybody over. I don't know. I think that would be awesome. Joker and Captain America? Holy God, that'd be amazing. No. I like it. I like it.
Jeremy, what's your theory?
All right. So this has kind of been done in the comics a couple times. And my favorite one, they actually did a comic book that was called, it was literally just DC versus Marvel. And what was neat about it was they matched up for fights like people in the DC and Marvel universe. Like, for example, they had Batman fight Captain America. They had Superman fight the Hulk. They had Wolverine fight Lobo. Shazam fought Thor, all this kind of stuff. And the cool thing about the way they did it in the comic is to determine who won, it was based on fan votes. So people had to write in, because this was back before the days of email, so you had to basically fill out the little, like, voter registration box and, like, check who you thought was going to win and mail it in. And the way they did it was, story-wise, was that there were these two kind of cosmic entities that were brothers, and one was kind of in charge of what was the DC universe, and one was in charge of the Marvel universe. And they decided, as all brothers do, that they wanted to compete and see whose was better. And so basically what they did was had the greatest, you know, warriors from each of those worlds come together and fight.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yep.
I like that too. Nobody liked my idea though, right? No. Crickets.
Your idea was mainly I want to see the Marvel guys fight the DC guys. And we agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't agree with your setup of it. I thought that was where it was lacking.
Well, bitches.
I just don't want to see them fighting it out in the Midwest. And the big thing you said was you imagine that the Marvel world was on one side of the country and the DC world was on the other side of the country. But both are pretty East Coast. I mean,
I agree, but it's a fictional world.
Just in New York City and Metropolis and Gotham are very East Coast.
But wasn't Iron Man in Malibu or something like that? Or close to the...
That's where his house was.
Tony Stark had a house there.
Okay.
It got blown up, but everything else has been in the East Coast.
I don't know. Fictional. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Fictional.
Oh, I don't know.
I just think you'd have to come up with a better way to do it than to say one's on the East Coast and one's on the West Coast, because those worlds are so big, there would be no way not to address, you know, like in the MCU, like Superman, you know, basically destroying Metropolis in a fight with Zod.
Okay. Maybe, I don't know.
That's why they got to be,
I mean, like, on the East Coast, there's like, you know, it's Wayne Enterprises, and on the West Coast, it's Stark Enterprises.
I think you have to combine the worlds.
Mm. Okay. So the wormhole from Scarlet Witch is what works.
Yeah.
The bizarro it's
like,
world.
It's like Freddie Mercury said, it's a kind of magic.
Yeah, I honestly, it sounds like what Jeremy was saying was the best way to go. That makes the most sense, I guess. I think there just has to be some kind of, it has to be acknowledged that these are different worlds and different kind of universes.
Yeah.
Well, for it to work.
All right. I mean, okay. I still like to
see. Well, because the Avengers are like they do planetary kind of stuff. They're all over the world. That's what their whole thing was. They're in Sokovia, yet they can't be in California.
maybe that's.
They're a global response team.
Diabolical shit happens in Sokovia, not California.
Well, plus the other thing you run into is that the Avengers, for example, are a response team. They only show up when bad shit happens, right? The Justice League is not that way. The idea, like Batman and Superman and the Flash, like they go out and patrol their cities.
Spider-Man does that.
Hmm?
Spider-Man does that.
Yeah, but I mean, he's patrolling like five blocks.
Yeah, you're right. He's the neighborhood watch, the friendly neighborhood.
Basically,
Spider-Man. Yeah. Okay.
That whole thing of like Daredevil and like Hell's Kitchen—that's like three or four streets.
All right.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Iron Man ain't out fucking patrolling anything.
Well, he's got bigger fish to fry, I guess. I feel like he could patrol things, but yeah, he doesn't. Be a weird. Well, technically, I guess he could.
Thor's not patrolling. No. Patrolling.
Thor's patrolling planets. Iron Man technically could because he could. He could have all these super suits.
He has drones.
Yeah, he has drones.
He can send his drones to fly around and keep an eye on shit.
There you go. So, all right.
But we digress.
We digress. So if you have any, that's how we see it happening.
That's why you like us, because we digress.
Yeah, we digress. Let's hope this happens. I would love to see a Marvel DC movie crossover. And with the rate that Disney's going now, it's not out of the cards. I mean, you've got to think that some DC or some Warner Bros. Some Marvel people and some Warner Brothers people got together, or Disney and DC.
Dude, it is so out of the cards. It can't even. No.
They would be like, dude, okay, we're putting in $150 million. $150 million.
Marvel will never let the DC people within a million miles of any of their properties, because that's why those other movies, the DC movies, have sucked, because of the executives and the way they make those movies. Do you think they're going to let those dudes anywhere near those movies, their characters? Hell no.
There could be a peace between them.
Maybe in this alternate fucking universe that you're cooking up in this.
This alternate universe, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay. All right, enough Marvel DC. Let's get into the holiday spirit. The holiday spirit with Last Jedi spoilers. You ready, Jeremy?
Ready.
All right, let's do this. Last Jedi, here's what happens.
I will not hesitate to drive to Texas and kick your ass.
So wait.
I'm so excited about this.
Let me clear this here. So if Kluger spoils this, you'll come here, kick his ass, and then you and I get to hang out for Christmas. Kluger,
spoil that shit.
No, I'm going. I'll just kick his ass and turn around and go right back home.
Because you encouraged
you'll be here. We'll be hanging out. I'll have some beers waiting for you. Some ice for Kluger.
Okay, so we're in space, right? And.
And there's some shit going down.
Oh, it's so funny. All right, so, John, you came up with these, I think you came up with these topics. You want to explain them, these holiday topics?
Well, we kind of came up with this one actually on accident a few episodes ago. We were talking about the movie Christmas Story and how everyone has probably at some point in their life had some toy that they wanted, like the Red Ryder BB gun. And so we said that we'd all kind of discuss what our Red Ryder BB gun was, like the thing we wanted so bad for Christmas or for Hanukkah or whatever it was, and just that you got or didn't get. Maybe you didn't get it, but the thing that you just coveted so deeply.
Yeah, it's a good thing. First off, I guess, did anybody get a BB gun and shoot their eye out?
No, I had a BB gun, but I did not shoot my eye out.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you can see.
Jeremy had a BB crossbow. That was before guns.
A BB crossbow? Oh, that's good. A crossbow.
A BB musket.
You had to load it, like, with the fucking thing every time.
That is correct.
Oh, that was good. It kills him a little every time we make fun of his age.
I don't care. I made the Doc Brown joke earlier.
That's
I'm good.
True. That is good. Oh, that was good. The must a BB musket.
I like how many steps it took you guys to get there from BB crossbow to BB musket.
It was an evolution. It had to happen.
All right, so I guess who's going first?
Ryan, why don't you tell us what your Red Ryder BB gun was?
My Red Ryder BB gun, and it's really weird, but there I saw commercials for it. I saw commercials for it. This is when I was really young. There was this board game-ish type of thing, but it wasn't really a board game. It was called Crossfire.
Crossfire!
Yeah, absolutely. Crossfire! And it was like basically this thing was like the size of a serving platter, and you shot these little metal balls across this like flat surface with these little these gigantic, like, I don't know, items in the middle to get into the other person's goal.
It was like pong but not a video game, right?
Right, but there was
like flippers, like a ping pong, like a ping pong table, I mean a pinball machine.
Yeah, but there was like 30 balls instead of one, so you just kept firing them, but they were actual metal, like they weren't plastic things, these were actual metal. And I remember seeing the commercial, I'm like, I'm gonna have that much fun playing this as they are in the commercial. And I remember asking for that, and like, oh, we don't know,
because the kids in that commercial were juiced, man. Those kids were like, yes, I love this game.
There was like lightning and thunder and space and graphics in the background, and there was like an awesome theme song, like Crossfire. And I was like, oh man, this is the game I need. And I remember Hanukkah came around, that shit did happen. I got it, and I remember it was like the centerpiece of my bedroom. It really was just in the center of the floor, and I would just play that shit. And then every time come over, like, let's play some Crossfire.
So that Crossfire game was the best gift that you ever received.
I mean, the one, you know, growing up and shit like that, that I remember just, I remember I asked for that and then, you know, waited, you know, all that. And he was like, you have to be good and shit like that. And I got it. And I was very excited.
That's awesome.
So, yes, Crossfire. I played it so much. I wish I still had it. All right. That's Crossfire.
Jeremy, how about you?
Oh man, you know, I don't remember ever having anything that I wanted with the intensity that the kid, you know, from A Christmas Story wanted that BB gun. But some of the stuff that I remember really enjoying getting, the year my sister was born, I remember super being into He-Man toys at that point. And there was a Castle Grayskull playset, and my sister was born on Christmas Eve, and my mom basically realized that it was going down, and so she was so happy that she bought me that she was like, all right, you both get to open a present, you and your brother, because I gotta leave because your sister's about to be born. And that's what I got, was I got Castle Grayskull.
Awesome. You know, it's funny because I think while Crossfire, that was my moment, but I think One of my favorite toys I always loved was a He-Man toy, and it was, remember Moss Man?
Mm-hmm.
That was, I love that action figure so much.
So, Jeremy, was Castle Grayskull more or less exciting than getting a sister? since they both happened at the same time.
Yeah. Probably, for my kid brain, it was probably Castle Grayskull. Another cool thing with it, we got one Christmas, and I don't remember like when we got them, but we used to get these like big wheels. They call them like Hot Cycles, and it was where you would have like, you know, sort of like a tricycle, but like for like a little bit more active, where it was plastic and you'd be sitting down. You'd have the two little wheels on the back and then the one gigantic wheel in the front.
As seen in The Shining, right? Danny driving, pedaling around in the hallways. Yeah.
And so I remember my brother and I got those one year for Christmas, and that was super fun.
I had one of those. I had a blue one. I remember that. Those were awesome, like the little tri things. I like that. That's good.
That's good stuff.
You, Jonathan Atterbury.
For me, it was the one thing that this is what I remember as being the most excited I ever was to get a gift, and it was the Millennium Falcon when I was probably 8 years old, I'd say.
What's the Millennium Falcon?
The Millennium Falcon is a plane from Star Wars, as you would call it.
It's a plane.
The Star Wars plane.
So the ship we didn't see in The Last Jedi?
Yeah, that one. But that was my gift that I wanted so badly. And when I finally received that, my parents got it for me for Christmas, and I just lost my freaking little mind. There's a picture that I still have of me, like, when I opened it, and it's just like me. I was exploding with joy in that moment. So that's what I remember as being the best gift I ever got.
Little Jonathan running around, Star Wars!
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely. I was watching The Phantom Menace the other day on TV, and I was telling Lauren about my memory of that I have of the first time I saw that movie. And I was saying, because, you know, I'm so glad that it came out when it did, because I was at the perfect age to really maximize my experience of that movie. I was like 12 years old when that came out. And I just was so excited for that movie, man. I was so ready. I had like read all the little books that they had released prior to the movie, and I was there, and I had this big ugly t-shirt that had like the picture of Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi fighting Darth Maul, and it was just a really horrible looking t-shirt, but I had that on. I had a C-3PO hat, and I was just like this oversized nerd that was so excited for that movie.
Yeah, I was 17 or 18 when Phantom Menace came out, and yeah, you were 12.
Yeah.
How old was Jeremy?
Yeah. 22, if he was 12.
There you go.
Yep, I was super ready for it. That was a good experience.
Well, then.
That's why I can't hate those movies too much now.
Hey, on the memories. Way home, Booger's like, I really need to watch episodes 1-3 again.
I did say that.
So don't listen to the closet case self-loather over there, because he's full of shit.
Oh, that's funny. All right, we have another topic, right, of the holiday fervor.
Yeah. Well, I figured it would be fun for us to talk about, since we haven't talked about music in a little while, if we talked about our favorite Christmas music, whether it be a song or an album, whatever it is.
All right. Well, I guess I'll start. One of my favorite Christmas albums is definitely Jackson 5 Christmas. I love, love, love that album. Especially Up on the Rooftop, because all the Jackson 5 sing about what they want, and it's hilarious. Like Tito wants a new guitar. One of them wants shoes to play basketball. And Michael comes in, he wants love and peace for everyone, and it's just hilarious. Oh, that's such a good, it's a good Christmas album. I loved it. What other ones? Motorhead did a Christmas album, or at least a Christmas song, Run Run Rudolph, and it's amazing. Got Lemmy singing Run Run Rudolph. It's really good stuff. I really like that. Twisted Sister Christmas, also great Christmas album, as well as like Run DMC Christmas is excellent. And I guess my Hanukkah song would have to be Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song because it's just so great and funny.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Right on. What about you, Jeremy?
Oh, man, hands down for me in terms of there aren't really a lot of Christmas albums that I dig. But, I got to go with the Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas stuff.
Ah, yeah, that's good stuff.
I mean, for me, that's just absolutely the best, the most fun. I mean, honestly, like, I can pretty much sing Christmas songs in my head all year round. But I mean, that's my favorite, really.
That's a good one. That's, yeah, those albums are all really good and really fun. To this day, I've always wanted to see him perform for his Christmas show.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to see that too, but every time he comes through and I'm like, those tickets are so expensive because that band is just, you know, because it's an orchestra and I'm just like,
he's got 50 people playing with
him. Yeah, and I'm always just like, I just can't justify spending $300 for shitty seats. But I don't listen to this, but I will give honorable mention to the Christopher Lee heavy metal Christmas albums.
Like the
what?
Christopher Lee?
You guys don't know about those?
No.
Yes.
No.
Like Count Dooku, fucking metal Christmas album in his 80s.
I'm gonna look this up.
Wow. So he did this before he died, when he was pretty old still.
He did it after he died.
Well, I didn't know if maybe they used like an impression of him. It's actually him recording.
No, that was great. He did him after he died. He did him after. That was an excellent joke.
Wow. So he just teamed up with some metal band and sang vocals Christmas songs.
He sings Christmas songs over metal, and it's awesome.
Wow. Is he, like, singing, or is he screaming? Like, is it metal?
He's not screaming, because he's probably too old to scream. But,
yeah, a heavy metal Christmas with Christopher Lee.
Wow.
It is definitely – you can do it on Spotify, Amazon – it is, yeah, heavy metal, Christopher. Oh, shit.
I don't know how many are out there now, but I'm pretty sure he released more than one.
Yeah, Little Drummer Boy, Silent Night, Jingle Hell, My Way, Darkest Carols, Faithful Sing, which is the take on Hark the Herald's Angels Sing. Ooh, I'm so downloading this.
Wow. Okay, I just pulled it up. I just can't even believe that this is a thing. And that picture of him.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, he did a bunch of metal stuff. He's got albums where he's like a king.
Yeah. Yeah, you never knew about that?
What? I had no idea. This is blowing my mind. He's got an album called Charlemagne, The Omens of Death. And he's got a really horribly photoshopped picture of him sitting amongst fire and gold and treasure. And it's amazing. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to see if Alexa can do it. The Alexa.
You've taken Echo. Your first steps into a larger world.
Seriously, it's blew my mind.
All right. John, what about you? What about your Christmas albums?
All right. I got to say, I think what I regard as the best Christmas album probably ever made is A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector. A Christmas Gift to You by Phil Spector.
Too soon. Too soon. Too far.
Dude, that album is amazing. I don't even care. It is a piece of genius work, and there's so much to love about that album. For anyone who hasn't listened to it, check it out. I believe it's called A Christmas Gift to You from Phil Spector, and it's
not a Christmas gift you want from Phil Spector.
No, it is. It really is. It's an amazing piece of beautiful music, and it's all the different. It's not him singing, but he produced this album, and it's a bunch of different bands and singers that he worked with, like Darlene Love, and you know we've all heard her version of Christmas and stuff like that. But it's great. And then I love the Charlie Brown Christmas album, the Vince Guaraldi Trio.
Christmas time is here.
That's a good one.
That album is another piece of just brilliant music. I absolutely love it. Someday at Christmas, Stevie Wonder's Christmas album. Awesome. Love that one. And the Beach Boys Christmas album is really, really fun, too. And got some really awesome harmonies. So those are probably my favorite actual Christmas albums. I like the Harry Connick Christmas stuff a lot. He's put out a number of Christmas albums over the years, and I always really like those.
Well, good. We all had, like, different aspects of this. Did Aerosmith or Bon Jovi ever do a Christmas album?
Not as far as I know.
Or a song?
I
want
to say... Like, I want to say Bon Jovi might have had a song on a compilation.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's right. I think they did Finish the Home for Christmas.
Yeah, they did.
On, like, one of those a very special Christmas albums or something like that.
Yeah, it was, like, one of those, like, charity things. That I don't know if it was the whole band or if it was just him. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
But there are so many good albums, honestly. And you know what? I also got to give honorable mention to one that came out this year. I'm going to tack on a few others here. The new album that just came out this year, and this is kind of a surprise, a dark horse, if you will. Hanson just put out a new Christmas album, and it's pretty damn good.
Hanson is a good band, man. They know how to play.
I was surprised. I was totally surprised that this album, I mean, it's not going to be a classic or anything like that, but it was a solid album of Christmas covers. Pretty fun stuff. And side note, my sister let me know today that they have their own craft beer company, and their first beer they put out is called M-Hops.
I am so in love with Hanson right now. M-Hops.
I really thought it's that fantastic. Was fantastic.
That is good.
That was something that needed to happen in our world.
I like
in our
guys.
World of bad news and unpleasant shit. That's a little ray of sunshine.
M-Hops.
And so I also wanted to mention that the She and Him Christmas albums are magnificent. I love those albums.
Yeah, those are good.
I like those. I like those well enough too. Trying to think of what else. I guess for Christmas wise, I mean, of course, there's always Bing Crosby and Elvis Presley and all.
Oh yeah,
that
you
stuff,
can't
but...
you can't ignore White Christmas by Bing Crosby. That's just timeless.
Mavis Staples' Christmas Vacation is also great. It's also a good one. I have to mention Tales from the Crypt, the Crypt Keeper. You know the TV show.
Yeah,
He put out that little Crypt Keeper guy put out a Christmas album, and it's it's so good. It's so silly and fun. Like he does the 12 Days of Christmas, and like Partridge in a Pear Tree. It's a trip to the mortuary. It's so good, so good. I loved it.
That is funny.
I grew up listening to that too. Merry Christmas, you guys, and. We hope that Jonathan gets to see The Last Jedi.
It's happening. It's happening unless I die between now and then or something like that happens.
So if Jeremy and I spoil it for you, are you still going to go see it?
Don't even fuck with me. I know you love me too much to do that to me.
Oh, so funny. All right. Well, that is our episode for this week. We are going to be back next week with probably an all Star Wars Last Jedi podcast. That's all it's going to be
talked
about. Sounds
like that's going to be the case. If there's 2.5 hours of material to cover.
There is.
So that'll be next week, and the week after that is Christmas week. So hopefully we will be back for then, or we might take a break. I don't know. But we will definitely be back for Last Jedi. We love you. And may the Force be with you guys. And may you live long and prosper and boldly go where we don't need roads.